I think being self-present in the world in a very attentive, alert, aware way is very important. And, of course, our own society with so much noise and all that in it now today can make that very difficult for people. But the whole emphasis on mindfulness, if you like, is trying to bring people into that attentive space. And I myself am not entirely persuaded by the notion of mindfulness. I prefer to speak about authentic self-presence, because mindfulness can suggest a more intellectual exercising of things. And I think authentic self-presence is very holistic. You are attending to a whole self, being present to itself in a very wholesome way. And when it's present to itself in a very wholesome, authentic way, it's engaging with experiencing, with understanding, with judging, with deciding. And this involves emotions, feelings, bodily states, everything. Now, I'm not saying mindfulness doesn't also try to include all that, but I think the notion of mindfulness can seem a bit intellectualist, and where I think authentic self-presence names better what's really in mind there. But I think the emphasis of mindfulness in our contemporary culture and what I would call authentic self-presence is about the need really to live in this very sort of present, attentive, aware, sensitive way to life and to all that goes on in life. And I think our culture is recognizing the need for that through mindfulness. I was at the Thich Nhat Hanh conference in the convention center in Dublin last year. And I mean, the place was absolutely packed out, and it was being streamed as well for all those who couldn't be present physically to it. So there's a huge interest in the need to kind of come for people to come into themselves in a very aware, attentive, silent way even. And I was very struck at the beginning when Thich Nhat Hanh came on and came off the stage. There was no announcement he was coming on. When he went off again, he went off while things still continued after him, and he came on and he came off in silence. And I think that was all part of his message, the need really to live, but not, you know, to live in a silence where you are very, very present to things, not in a way where you're just switched off to everything. Silence is not just about switching off. It's about being present in a very aware, attentive way to life.
Now, I'm interested also in this. I know that you yourself are a firm proponent of liberation theology and of society and working in groups. And yet, I would have thought that in previous times, perhaps some liberation theologians would have been critical of what we've been just talking about, because they may have seen this as a very individualistic, self-absorbed, individualistic spirituality, which doesn't take account of the society and social movements. I presume you have reconciled that, and am I accurate in that have been a criticism?
Yeah, I think that perhaps is maybe to an extent a valid criticism of some sections of liberation theology in the early days. But I think as time went on, when, for example, it was proving impossible to change societies in the way perhaps it was thought could be done at the beginning, when there might have been greater optimism and hope about the kind of level of social transformation that could be brought about. But then when all the martyrdoms happened, and the dictatorships and the slaughters and the devastation and destruction, and the realization that perhaps the change that had been hoped for and expected was not really going to take place, people were brought back into themselves at another level. And Gutierrez, for example, would say that our spirituality is the method of liberation theology is its spirituality. And that, you know, you have to be first of all present to lived experience before you can start theologizing about it. Now, a contemplative self-presence to lived experience really absorbs the experience at very deep levels, and then you can start thinking about theology around that. So it is a necessary foundation. You don't pick up on what has to be theologized unless you can really pick it up at a deeply profound level, and being present to life in this deeply profound way, which what we've been talking about enables you to be and to do, is very much at the service then of theology. And Gutierrez, you know, who's one of the founders of liberation theology, would say that theology is a second act. The first act is lived experience, and you have to ask first of all about how do I become present to lived experiences in ways that I can really pick up what's going on there, and then I can get into theology after that. Now, authentic subjectivity could sound like it's a very individualist practice, but actually it's very relational, because when you're trying to live authentic subjectivity, you are trying to be present to yourself, to others, and to the world. You're relating to yourself, others, and the world with a desire to meet beauty, truth, goodness, and love, or to know how to bring them about if they're absent. So this is very relational, and that's very linked up then with liberation theology. So it's a spirituality that's trying to make you present to yourself in ways that will relate you to yourself, your others, and your world in a very sort of high quality way, where then the changes that are needed can truly be noticed and worked for. So there is no kind of dualism or no division or no contradiction between an emphasis on authentic subjectivity and the emphasis of liberation theology on the need for social transformation.